So we're going to go to the Luke, the fourth chapter, and we'll start right there, we'll see how the Lord moves and what have you. Hope you don't mind. I walk around a lot. That puts me at ease and what have you. But I'm really impacted by a statement that was made last night. One of the ladies, during our time of worship, she made a statement, and the statement kind of stuck with me throughout the night and even today. And that statement was, stand up to Baal. I don't know who made that statement, but it said, to stand up to Baal. And, in the hour that we live in, the time that we live in, it is really indeed necessary that we see the significance of standing up to that which is unright, that which is dishonest, that which is not holy, to stand up to Baal. And I believe, as you gave the subject of God's future is today, then we can begin to see, even from the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus, that we are that entity or that generation, if I may put it that way, that is to stand up to that which is evil. And I just want to encourage you. I'm not here to preach at you, but just to encourage you, even as I'm encouraged myself. But I really have a sense that as we begin to look at things, and as from what's been spoken so far, we begin to look at things, we can see perhaps ourselves in this, even as we look at Jesus and understand that God's future in him is today. But then we are in him. Amen. And so, even before I go to Luke, the fourth chapter, let's go to Matthew first chapter. And we'll start there. We're going to skip around just a little bit. Okay? Amen. Praise God. And I'm impressed by this scripture in the first chapter of Matthew, the 17th verse. I'm impressed there because it gives me a glimpse of something and of what God has planned and how he has planned it. You know, God is so wise, and I know you know this, that there's no mistake about him. He got everything so in place that the Bible says even a fool couldn't err if as long as he stays in the Lord. And so here we are in Christ. And the more we realize that and who we are in Christ, the more we'll find ourselves that we are well equipped and well adapted to take that which is in the realm of the invisible and bring it to the place where it's visible. Amen. Amen. We can bring it from the past and even take it out of the future and make it now because of who he is and who we are in him. Amen. Praise God. And I'm not trying to be ethereal and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just trying to be as practical, because when we realize that we are spiritual beings, we are the sons of God, we are the people of God, we are the children of God, and our Father has made it so through his Son Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, then we see that the anointing that was upon him, that the anointing that is upon him is also afforded us, that the works that we see him doing, we are able to do also. And the Bible says even greater works. Amen. Amen. And all of creation is just, you know, really looking, trying to figure out when this is going to happen. And yet we begin to understand, at least I do, begin to understand that it is this generation. No, I know. But let me get back to Matthew first and try to clarify that just a little bit. It says here, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, what I gather from this, now if I may say this, I'm not trying to cause any controversy or anything, but if I may say this, then Christ is the last generation. I mean, I know that we go through our own lineal genealogy and we begin to trace our generations. And we talk about now generation and the young generation and the XYZ generation, what have you. But the scripture begins to give me an understanding here that in Christ, We are the last generation. Are you hearing that now? In fact, in 1 Peter 2 and 9, it says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Peculiar in that not that we act funny and act strange, but peculiar in the sense that we hear God. We can hear God. We can talk to God. I mean, we're the only people who can do that. Huh? That makes us peculiar. I mean, and we got to take this peculiarness that we have and put it to the use that God wants us to put it to. Okay. And so first, I just wanted to establish the fact that we are that generation. We're the generation that Jesus birthed into being, that God brought into being through his son Jesus and put us in him. In fact, in Ephesians, he talked about some of them in hymns. He said, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Come on now. So we don't have to worry about our blessings because we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places. Is that right? Amen, 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 amen. So we don't have to worry about all that kind of stuff and what have you. You know, at least that's what I'm learning. You know, worry doesn't make it change. You know, let me trust the Lord. You know, that's what he says. I have all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places. You know, it was dealing with that heavenly places thing. You know, in Ephesians, it said he's made us to sit together. Come on, us. Made us to sit together in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. I love that. Because when I ever think about being seated in heavenly places, I think of just being in that spiritual Supreme Court. Come on now. Huh? The Supreme Court is the one that determines whether something is just and right according to the law of the land, right? Hey, here we are now. You know, we're the people of God and we are seated in heavenly places. We've been made to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. I love that. Amen. They love that. Amen. So I'm looking for the body of Christ is coming to that place of understanding, hey, we need to say something. And of course, we just won't say something. We'll say what we hear our Father say. Yes. Amen. And we'll do what we see our Father do. You understand? Amen. Yes. Amen. So just want to establish those things there among us. You know, hey. Bible tells me that we are of the family of God. We are of the household of God. Now, I don't know about your household, but I'll talk about mine. My household has certain characteristics. I mean, that's the Yarbrough household. You know, we do things a certain way, you know. And so when people come by my house or what have you, they know that just the way we do it. And when they come into the house, hey, it's so strong they just have to acquiesce and do it for that period of time at the way we do it. Huh? You know. We pray before we eat. We pray before we drink. Okay? Huh? You know, just certain things. That tells me that being the household of God, then there's certain characteristics that we should see among us that indicates that we are part of the family of God. Is that right? Amen. Amen. I'm just saying now, the Yarbrough family got certain traits. You know, I can't tell you all of them because I'm not trying to, you know, to promote the Yarbrough family. Just that everybody has characteristics, and the Bible tells us that we are of that household. And so I wanted to look a little closer at Jesus here in Luke, the fourth chapter. And I'll just talk to you a little bit about that. And so we see Jesus in the book of Luke, that even before we get to the fourth chapter, we begin to see some things that right there near the end of the third chapter. And it says in the third chapter, the 21st verse, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that to Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." It gives a genealogy after that. And then the first verse of chapter 4 says something that I think we should take very good note of. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." And this thing about being full of the Holy Ghost, him being anointed, him being prepared, being made ready for the task at hand, to stand up against Baal, amen, against the works of the devil. Amen. To stand up. He's being full of the Holy Ghost. And that just anytime you're full of the Holy Ghost, you should have power. The brother here said, power. You know, and we notice that he went and he did some things, and he was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness, and we see how he was tempted, you know, two or three times there. And I think that's significant as well, because there I began to see him restore some things that we need to be very careful about as well. He began to restore what it was to honor his Father, what it is to really worship his Father, to really be in worship. And so that which Adam had done, and that he denied his Father each time, you know, that Jesus comes and he restores that. And that speaks to us too, as the people of God, that we should make sure that in all we do and all we say and all that we proclaim and all that we teach, that we make sure that we it comes out of a vessel that honors the Lord in all that we do. Amen. That we truly worship him. To worship him is to honor him. You know, we can do all the other little things, and I'm not against that, but to really honor him with your life. It says that the Son honors the Father. And here we are. We are sons of God. Amen. And so before we even begin to embark upon this thing, and my brother here said, the Lord, hey, wants to pull us deeper. And I believe that to be true. He wants us to pull it deeper so we would cross areas that we had never crossed before. You know, almost like Star Trek. And to go places and travel places that we've never been before. And I'm not talking just in the sense of geography, but I'm talking about in our spiritual lives and what have you. That God would take us places spiritually that we've never been before, to get deeper and deeper into him. But it takes to honor him with a clean hands and a pure heart. Even before we even think about letting him be the one that would cause his future and his promises and all his yeas, all his word to come forth and be visible. You know, it says in him, his promises are yea and amen. And it talks about the present tense. And so we see here Jesus comes on the scene and he begins to take and quote from Isaiah 61. And he begins to take what was promised by the prophets. And he comes and he says, now, the scriptures today have been fulfilled in your hearing. And at that point, he begins to say what was spoken in the past and what was proclaimed and promised in the past has now come to the present. And there is a present opportunity now to experience all that God has spoken by his prophets in the past. And so Jesus comes and he's full of the Holy Spirit and he begins to demonstrate his authority and his power over everything. He casts out demons. He heals the leper. He caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear and all these wonderful things, demonstrating that he has all power. Amen. And he does this all under the unction and under the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, as the Son of God. Amen. Amen. I mean, and so I began to look at it and say, well, then he's the last generation. In him is embodied the last generation, which includes all of us from that time on. And what did he do? He stood up to that which was not like his father. And he began to say some things, speak some things, you know, in our present society, you know, we just had the legislative branch of Maryland to pass some law. Y'all probably heard, what have you. And we had not a successful attempt to appeal to the politicians not to make that choice. You know, I actually, and myself, I was a little hurt because we appealed to the politicians as if they had the power. You know, yeah. And we went to them instead of going to God like we should have. We went to them as if they were going to do something righteous. But no. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to, and you may help me out a little bit. And I'm just trying to give this picture of understanding that what Jesus started, we're to continue. Amen. You know, as he is, so are we. The Bible says, now are we. Not that now meaning present time in that sense. But it said, well, therefore, we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be just like him. Is that right? That's right. And so here we are. And so the works that he said, the works that I do, oh, you'll do those and greater because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Not because of yourself. And I begin to learn and understand that, hey, the Holy Spirit, key. Jesus gives us the example that he's full of the Holy Ghost and he's led into the wilderness. He makes the choice to honor his father. And the Bible says, and he returns and come back out of the wilderness. He's full of power of the Holy Spirit. And he begins now to go about the mission that God had set before him. That was to confront. And he confront things in the sense that he brought a present reality, a present release of the sovereign presence of God before the people. And, you know, it's one thing to proclaim. So Jesus was more than just a prophet to proclaim what would happen. But actually he was the instrument, the Messiah, the instrument that would release the presence of God. And, you know, sometimes we can talk a lot of stuff, you know, sound good. But now in the Lord is sharing with us that, hey, not only be able to speak it and proclaim it, but let's let it happen and let the release of the presence of God's sovereignty be released in the land. Okay? This is important. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm almost finished. Because I want to make sure I give chance for your questions. Don't get done too soon, huh? Amen. And so I was looking at that and about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Holy Spirit's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's awesome. You know, and we have the Holy Ghost in us. Mm-hmm. And that brings with us, you know, when you're anointed, when God anoints you with his spirit, it's not so that you can be powerless. It's not so that you can not be effective. It's so that you can accomplish the work of the kingdom. In fact, that's the only reason why God would anoint you. You know, is that you might be able to do and accomplish the task or the purpose of the kingdom. Okay? And kingdom deals with dominion. The king's dominion. Okay? That's what it deals with. And here we are of the kingdom of God. And we are to walk in dominion. I know. We've heard that. You know, and I'm not trying to make it so like it's new. I know it's not new, but Jesus made it so He was so awesome in it, in that people begin to come to him. Amen. You know, because they begin to hear about this happening, this which had been promised to them, you know. I think it was Jonathan was telling me about a guy that has discovered that there's about 20,000 promises in the Bible. Is that right? Jim Dunk. Okay. What have you. Man, can you see that? Hey, that God has entrusted us to be the agents by which his promises are made real. Amen. The reality of him comes to be among the masses. Yeah. Amen. I want you to really think about that just a little bit. Just a little bit. Because it's us. It's us. Now, hey, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus affords me the ability to determine what is right, what is holy, what is just, what is not just. Okay. And I know the church, I don't want to say that. I know that the church, institutional, okay, I put it that way. The church, institutional. Nobody listened to the church, institutional. You know, nobody cares what the church said, institutional. I was listening on the radio the other day, and they were saying, well, you know, they misquote, they take the Bible out of context. And they were talking about this same-sex marriage thing, or having somebody had nerve enough to say, well, you know, in that same Bible, they tell you how to be stone your children if they do wrong and what have you. So what? This is just out of context. But when does the people of God begin to speak up that the reality of what God has spoken and promised becomes real right there? Mm-hmm. The opportunity is here. Okay, the opportunity is right here. Jesus took advantage of the opportunity. Okay, as he was being led by the Spirit of God. I don't want to leave the Holy Spirit out. The Holy Spirit. And we are the same who are led by the Holy Spirit. Bible says that as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Here we are. We are the sons of God. In fact, that term son there is a term that's used to describe a mature son. But I don't even want you to wrestle with that being mature, because we get the sense that I got to have a chronos time, mm-hmm, instead of a kairos time. Okay, we look at the chronos of things and we say, well, I'm not mature yet. Okay. But there we understand that as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature sons of God. Yeah, I hope you're hearing this now. This is very simple. Is that, hey, as I let myself be led by the Spirit of God, I am a mature son of God. For that moment, for that space where I am. That means that, hey, you could be a newly born again and still be mature. Okay. You could have been in the Lord for 40 years and still you're mature. As long as you're being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You know, so we got so many people waiting in the ranks to be mature. And what we do, we keep them in the ranks waiting to be mature. But it's time to set them free in the real reality of the presentness of God now. You see? Why? Because we are peculiar people. Why are we peculiar? Because I can hear God. I can talk to God. God talks to me. Hey, you understand? All right. I can flow in the power of God. Okay. Peculiar people. A royal priesthood. I worship God. I honor him with my life. Are you understanding? Okay. And as I hear God, I can move just as Jesus would move. Okay. Now, he's the first of many brethren. Okay? He's our pattern son. Is that right? And he gives us a model of what or who we are to be. And he was the one that the Father just embodied everything in him that all God has spoken to the people, his people, for 2,000 years, way back from, and you were talking about Abraham, way back from Abraham, all the way up to this point. And then God says, now I'm going to demonstrate and reveal what I have been speaking to you all these years. And he decides that, hey, I desire to have a people, a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation who will reveal me in a present way. Bible says all of creation waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Hey, wait to see something. Huh? In fact, I believe our society is waiting for the real church to stand up. They may act like they dread it, but they are not satisfied with what they're doing. Even though they try, they applaud it. They're not happy. Let me verify that. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter, really blessed my heart. I mean, all of the Word of God blesses my heart. But and I'll start from the 14th verse, and I'll just, I mean, it's all, you know, good, but I'm going to start at the 14th verse, okay? It says, for as many as are led by, I'm reading out of King James Version, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Okay? For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now here we go. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And that told me something. That word vanity is sometimes translated as here in this passage of scripture as futility, but it's another word that tends to ring in my heart, and that word was frustration. And he said, hey, he made it such that the creature will be made subject to frustration. And that tells me something. Tell me, no matter how happy they might seem and how happy they may want to appear, somewhere along the line, they're going to become frustrated. I want you to hear this now, because it helps us not to give up hope. Help us to continue to pray and be who we're supposed to be. You know, we don't lose sight on our families, our loved ones, our children, our husbands, our wives. No matter where they are, what they're doing, hey, God says, I put it into their DNA that they are going to become frustrated somewhere along the line. Amen. That's why it's important that as we go through the things that we go through as the people of God, that we don't become faint and all, that we don't become weak. And we don't be someone, I think it was the... I think it was a young lady right here said, you know, hey, like going to Macy's, you know, when you want to go shopping, you know, my wife want to go shopping. She gets all happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Joy overcomes her when I was out the other day, and I forgot where I was. I think I was up with Bishop Joyner and his wife, and we were just fellowshipping, and my wife called me to see, where was I? Was I finished? And I said, well, no, not yet. She said, well, I'm going to go shopping. She had a joy, you know, it was joy, you know. She was going shopping. And so we can have the same sense of joy. No matter where we're going, what we're going through, the young brother who was here leading the praise and worship was, whatever he was talking about, oh, there he is. He was talking about it in his underwear and all. But he was happy about it. He was happy about it. Huh? Because we understand that whatever we're going through, hey, it cannot compare. Because God intends to reveal his glory through you. Okay? All right, got to understand that. Let me go to Ephesians, the third chapter. You know, Ephesians, the third God. God doesn't, he has purpose behind everything that he does. You know, and sooner we catch on to that and teach our people. Begin to teach our people. You see, I'm teaching the young children that at this age they can be mature in the things of God. Mm-hmm. God is not going to hold them any more accountable for that which they don't know, but what they do know, they can walk in obedience in it as being led by the Spirit of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. Hey. It's the mature son that carries the authority, carries power. Mm-hmm. Call that be not as though it were. Brings the release of God into our visible atmosphere. Okay? And people begin to see miracles. Well, just don't get caught up on miracles too much now. You know, Jesus didn't get all impressed by miracles that he was doing, because he understood that the miracles always pointed to something else. If it's not something else, it was someone else. Okay? Amen? Other than him. Okay. So we don't want to get, you know, miracles will happen. Signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. So that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. You understand? Okay. But anyway, let me go back to Ephesians just for a moment. Third chapter of Ephesians. God has plan and he has intent, purpose. And in the third chapter, verse 10, I'll get right to it. Verse 10. Well, maybe I need to back up just a little bit. Verse 5. Which in the other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and the partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I have made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent. I want to get to the intention of God. Okay. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heaven, there we go again, in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God is going to show forth his glory, his wisdom, his manifold wisdom. Through who? Through us, the chosen generation. Okay, so God has he wants all principality, everything, to see how wise he is in choosing us. He's chosen you. to be the agent that will show forth his glory wherever you are. And he's chosen you to the extent that you should not be weary or give up because you see all these things happening around and about you. Because he's designed that too. That's why I said God got everything and he got it all sewed up real good. So he's cultivating his family, that he's developing his family to the place that we would show forth his nature and his character. That we will show forth the family traits of his household. We are of his family. We pray in the spirit. We see in the spirit. You understand? Miracles happen. Signs and wonders follow. People are saved, healed, delivered, set free. You know, one of those things in Luke, he says, and to set at liberty the captive. To set at liberty. And I just want to implore you, hey, that as my brother was talking about deeper, that we look a little deeper when we are ministering to people, that the real reality of what God wants to do in their lives actually takes place, that we look deeper. Okay, to set at liberty. Okay, to me means to deal with the very foundation that was there. That there's real evidence of change in my life. You understand? To set at liberty, not just to cover up and heap things on top of things, but to really now. Be willing to let the Holy Spirit use you like he's never used you before. And to see deeper than you ever seen before. Not for the sake of just knowing something, but for the sake that you might not only proclaim, but you might also be an instrument of the presence or the sovereign power of God to bring deliverance and healing. Amen. It's all possible because of the Holy Spirit that he's given us. The same anointing. Same anointing. The same Holy Ghost that led Jesus is the same Holy Ghost who will lead you. It's our Father. It's our Father's doing. That he gives us his spirit. That we might be able to do the work of the kingdom. That we no longer, you know, when you listen sometime, you listen. And I know not the guys here. But there's some other guys. Well, I know these guys. And I know, but I don't know you, but I know your Father. All right. So, son honors his father. He's a chip off the old block. So I had a sense. But too many times we make promises. And we find that God has already made all the promises. You see? So we don't have to make promises anymore. But what we can begin to avail ourselves to is to see to it that we allow God to show himself mighty right where we are. God has hope. It says in Romans 8th chapter that I was reading, God has a hope. And his hope is that all of us, all of them, everyone that's lost, will be rescued out of the bondage of corruption and brought into the liberty of the children of God. And so that gives me hope, you know, and we begin to see it happen. You know, small earnestness of the spirit taking place. Men, women, husband, wives, children, boys and girls, teenagers and above, what have you, coming back, just being drawn back, okay? But drawn back to a family that would love them, that would look a little deeper than just the surface, to begin to see the value of the soul as it is to God. And begin to speak as the Holy Spirit would give them to speak, that there might be true repentance and true deliverance and healing, that the captive might indeed be set at liberty. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Mm-hmm. That's the call of God. That's what I sense as being the call of God. So when Thurlow emails me and says, you know, God's future is today. It's now. It's not waiting for tomorrow. It's now. Mm-hmm. He said, in fact, in when he talks about the people waiting for the all creation waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and they are groaning and travailing until now. Praise God. Well, you can do what you want to do, but but I implore you not to delay. Amen. The Spirit of God is moving now. He's opening our eyes now. Okay, there are Kairos moments happening every moment of the day. I call it a Kairos moment when one's eyes is open and they can clearly see for that moment and make a choice out of knowing the truth. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth and it shall set you free. Amen. Amen. And here we are, the voice that carries the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit, not according to our own opinions and all, but according to the power of the Holy Spirit who's resident and indwelling in us. Like the young lady said, she said, this is what God said. Now, I don't have all the scriptures, so maybe y'all have all the scriptures for it, but this is what God said. That's how simple it is. Okay? It's following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus did. When he went into the wilderness, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit led him. And when he comes back, he's still being led by the Holy Spirit, and he's continued to be led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just think that Jesus has an advantage over us. I hear it all the time. But that was Jesus. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's Jesus. Not realizing that we are the sons of God. And you know, the thing that I would search and implore you to search in case you have some doubt, I would implore you to begin to search and have a hunger for the Holy Spirit to bear witness with your spirit that indeed you are a child of God. Okay? Because God wants to do something in the earth. He wants to reveal some things in the earth. And he chooses to do it through his people. Okay, to his people. Okay, be daring to confront that which is of Baal. I don't know who said it, but stand up against Baal.